Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's my pleasure. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. If you've been listening already, thank you especially for that. We consider that a sign of a high intelligence. And you're going to be glad you did, because Richard DeKayser is in the building, so to speak. He's certainly on the line. Richard is an old friend of ours, longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's Senior Vice President and Chief Economist at National City Bank. And last year, he was the top forecaster. He's the nation's top forecast, top economist, the best economist in the nation, according to USA Today's opinion, and also my opinion. I'd already given him that award myself prior to that, but nobody listens to me. Richard, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be here, Jim.
You've always been my top economist in on the planet, but
all the economists.
There are a couple of others, and at least one of them is better looking than you are too, Richard.
I have no doubt.
Hey, Richard. Over the years, you've spent a lot of time with us, and of course, we thank you for that very much. But the one of the things that we've talked about in the past has been the real estate market, and
right.
we've had a couple of different angles. We've gone at the real estate market from a couple of different angles. At least one was, you know, the robustness of the real estate market. Number two was potential balloons and bubbles. I guess I should say, and the other is the mortgage part of this. Your bank, National
yep.
City Bank, has been one of the leaders in creating and securitizing, meaning selling upstream mortgages in across your multi-state coverage. And so we've talked about all those different things. Certainly, we had the robust real estate economy, which now is coming to has been grinding to a much slower pace. But when we talked about bubbles in the past, I never believed that there was a national bubble. I still don't think there's going to be a national real estate price bubble. But I did not understand the potential for a mortgage meltdown bubble.
That's right.
We
had, for sure. Where we're at is open to debate. But I would agree. I don't think we had a housing bubble. We had frothy conditions in a lot of places, which at their peak about a year and a half ago accounted for somewhere between 25% and 40% of the housing market, which of course is a huge chunk, but it's not the whole housing market, and there are places where things remain pretty solid. But the mortgage meltdown, which I think is fairly characterized as such, represents a fundamental shift. Up until about a year ago, investors the world over, banks, individuals, pension funds, foreign governments, Asian governments, European governments, were buying mortgage-backed securities hand over fist. The losses on those investments were absolutely negligible.
Right.
And they attributed the superb performance to a disproportionate degree to all kinds of sophisticated financial engineering that had been going on.
Mm-hmm. Some of which was to some degree a little bit of a suspension of the laws of economics. Would you agree with that?
Well, that's right. That's right. I think what happened is, you know, you had a lot of good things going on. You had a lot of clever financial engineering going on, but you also had at the same time, you know, home prices were booming. And
mm-hmm.
trust me on this, it's kind of difficult to lose money in the mortgage business when home prices are rising.
Right, right.
If someone gets in trouble, they lose their job, they get divorced, they get ill, you know, and prices are going up, they can always just sell out of the property, pay off the mortgage, and pocket the difference. But when prices are falling, all of that falls apart. So investors had an excessive sense of optimism. Now it's been disproven, and they have done a complete 180-degree reversal. They couldn't get enough of this stuff 1, 2, 3 years ago. Now they are shunning it. When I say this stuff, I'm talking about subprime, and not just subprime, but
is there any subprime being created right now? I mean, that's basically passé now, isn't it? The subprime activity
close to zero.
Yeah.
A year ago, in 2006, subprime mortgages accounted for about one out of every five. As of September,
now subprime folks, meaning that the borrower probably in a more sane era would not have been qualified for the loan that they're about to get.
Yeah, basically, they're more marginal credits. Now, I want to defend the subprime business because this has enabled lots of low income people to get into housing.
But
the problem is the concept got taken too far,
right.
And what was, you know, if you price appropriately, that is to say, charge high enough fees or interest rate, lenders can be compensated, but in the end, they were giving it away.
Well, not only that, though, you know, never mind the lenders, no disrespect to your company or your bank, Richard, but people were also allowed to buy homes that they didn't qualify for. They should never have been in. And when the clock ticked and the bigger bill came due, they couldn't pay it. That's what we have right now. 20 till, right back with Richard DeKayser. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Richard DeKayser, Chief Economist and Senior Vice President for National City Bank. Richard, give us your website and tell us a little bit about National City.
Sure, nationalcity.com. Couldn't be easier. We're a major regional bank. I think we're ranking around 10 or 11 in terms of the U.S. in asset size. And we're mostly in the Midwest, but we have some operations that are national in scope. Our mortgage lending operations, for example, are national in scope. And we also have recently bought into the Southeast with a major presence in the state of Florida.
And former subprime mortgage lender, right?
Yes. We were a year ago, I think, the eighth or ninth biggest subprime lender in America. We had bought a company called First Franklin back at the latter part of the 1990s, which really introduced some of these products like the interest-only mortgage, where no principal's paid down, to the mass market. Usually that was, or prior to that time, it was something for just the super affluent. But we offered interest-only and what they call 228s, which were very popular, and subprimes were a big, big part of our business.
So all of this... All this mortgage, these mortgage issues,
yep.
have the clock ticked. The bigger bills came due when the adjustable period came up. Then the bigger mortgage payments were due, and that created a lot of pressure on consumers, didn't it? On these mortgagees, and they got, you know, the good news is that people have jobs these days, right? And so. What do you think is going to happen from all this? What do you think we're going with all this? Have we been able? Are we going to be able to absorb this mortgage financial issue here?
Yeah, I think we are. In fact, of late, you're beginning to see things loosen up a little bit, and that's why I really like to characterize this as a hammer blow. What happened in late July through early September was that the investment community suddenly realized that these things were not risk-free. You could take losses, and they readjust pricing. That is to say, the availability of these kinds of mortgage products to the mass market were dramatically changed. We're feeling the reverberations of that in the economy now in a powerful way. We will see perhaps even worse numbers as we go through the fourth quarter, but I would argue that is going to essentially be the end of the decline in sales.
Do you think we'll be able to get through this and pay for it in 07, so to speak, and start with a clean slate in 08?
Yeah. Now I'm talking about sales. I think sales will hit bottom in the fourth quarter because the flow of credit, which was running like a fire hose, has been ratcheted down to a trickle, and you can't get any lower than a trickle, maybe shut off completely, but perhaps we're
there
already.
But now, when you say credit, now you're not. Are you talking about including to availability to small business?
No. And I'm glad you brought that up.
I'm not seeing any decline in availability of small business, really.
Well, you're not seeing it because it's not there. That is to say, its liquidity is huge. The Federal Reserve does a survey every 3 months. They ask banks, how much are you charging borrowers, business borrowers, for their loans over what money is costing you? And the latest results there, unfortunately, only are for August. But at that point, the spread, or how much banks are charging small businesses, was the lowest ever on record going back at least 20 years. So there has been no contagion. The mortgage meltdown has been contained. I would even say not to the mortgage market, but to those segments of the mortgage market we've been talking about, subprime and so forth. The prime market, which accounts for the most mortgages, is working fine. And if you leave that behind and you go into the bank, the market for loans to businesses, things are literally as good as they have ever been.
Yeah, that's what irritates me about some of the national media coverage. They've been assuming I've seen several reports where they assumed that this was costing small businesses access to money, but the truth is that's not the truth at all. And I appreciate you confirming that for me, Richard. What about some of the other issues going on right now? We got oil this last week hitting a record high of over $93. I mean, that's just, why isn't the economy grinding to a halt with those kinds of prices on up for oil?
Well, it I don't want to say grind to a halt, but we're not getting off scot-free on this. This does take a toll on consumers. Usually,
it's a huge tax, isn't it?
It's exactly that. It is a huge tax. Usually, you see it start to impact consumer spending with a little bit of a lag, because in the short run, people just cut back on their savings and make do. But given some time, they have to alter their spending behavior, and I expect they will. Now, the question is it the kind of development that brings the consumer to a grinding halt, or simply is an intense headwind? I'd say it's a headwind. It is going to take a toll, but it's not got the heft to offset all of the other good things that are going. And you mentioned the most important one. The single most important factor to the consumer economy is jobs. Yep. We have not seen jobs declining 4 years now.
We have record employment, almost record unemployment, and we're still creating jobs.
That's the key right there. So as long as we continue to be a job-creating economy, and that has slowed, to be sure, but we haven't gone negative as yet, that'll keep people coming to the stores.
Do you agree with me that 2% growth on a $13 trillion economy is nothing to sneeze at? We shouldn't feel that that's almost a recession?
Well, absolutely right, and that's pretty much where we're at. You know, it's... past year, we've seen growth just around 2% rate. Normal is considered 3. A recession is negative. So 2 is what I think is fairly characterized as a soft patch. Sometimes,
but isn't with a $13 trillion economy, soon to be $14 trillion, isn't 3 too fast to be normal? I mean, shouldn't it be closer to 2 now?
Well, there's a lot of debate around that. 3 is a good rule of thumb. Some would argue maybe as low as 2.5. I don't know anyone who's saying 2% is our normal run rate.
Well, you just heard me say it. You know what world-renowned economist I am. Folks, right back. We're going to talk about what the Fed's going to do today right after these messages. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Lassingham, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one has all the stuff we do here every day, the articles, the archives, the newsletter, the blog, all that stuff. And then the other one, askjim.biz, is our knowledge base, where we've anticipated your questions and we have answers waiting on you. Check it out. It's all free. Everything we have is free to use for you. No barrier to entry. You don't have to tell us who you are. Just show up and come on in and hang out with us and use our stuff. We like to make it available to you like that. And Richard DeKayser is our guest. He's our good friend and Senior Vice President and Chief Economist for National City Bank. Richard, the Fed's meeting today and tomorrow. The Federal Open Market Committee of the Federal Reserve Board is meeting today and tomorrow. And among other things, their big decision to make today is what to do with the Fed funds rate, which is the rate that the Fed charges banks for overnight deposits, which is the foundation upon which prime is based. So right now. Fed funds rate is 4.75. That makes prime 7.75. Small business owners, as you know very well, Richard, pay prime plus. We live in the world of prime plus one, prime plus two, prime plus three, and the dreaded prime plus four. And so So the Fed, many people, the market, I think, has already built in at least a quarter point drop. What do you think?
You're absolutely right. The market is priced in at least a quarter point with a low, maybe a 1 in 8 chance of there being a 50 basis point or half percentage point drop. And I have to tell you, I'm not usually in this position, but I'm horribly out of sync with the market. I think the Fed's likely to do nothing. And I'll tell you the reason I believe that is because as I look at this mortgage meltdown, it's not getting worse. It's getting better.
Yeah. You don't think there are any more shoes waiting to drop out there? Hasn't that been one of the problems? Is they've been worried that some major player was gonna expose or gonna reveal, I should say, that they had more exposure than we thought.
Absolutely, absolutely, and we have seen all kinds of problems. I mean, the investment banks almost across the board reported large losses during the third quarter.
Yeah.
Because the stuff they're holding suddenly was valued down at a lower price than they had it on their books for, so they had to take these one-time adjustments. But the shoes haven't been dropping, and if they would have, they would have done so by now.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of technical financial market indicators like commercial paper market spreads. And so when if you look at them, they all tell you the same thing, which is that we're returning to normal. We're not there yet, but we're 75 or 80% back to normal financial market conditions.
A CEO would be crazy not to reveal what his or her problems were, because when everybody else is doing it, you're going to get almost half a pass for it, aren't you?
Well, at most half a pass. there's no free lunch.
But I mean, you don't want to reveal this in six months from now. If you don't want to cover this up for 6 months and not let it out.
You know, so. And I'll tell you, a lot of this is regulatory driven. That is
yeah.
to say, financial institutions are compelled by law to report securities values as
yep.
the market dictates them. So
yep.
it's not a question. There's not a whole lot of discretion here.
Not much they can do about it. So you think the Fed will stand pat? And I think I'm going to agree with your logic, but I think the reality is that they're going. In my opinion, they're going another quarter,
You may be right, Jim. I wouldn't rule that out. And
I thought that the logic was there. I was surprised that they went a half a point. I was a little, as much as I'd like small business owners to get a break in interest rates, I was sort of irritated, frankly, some of the folks were whining about a lower rate cut to bail them out of their bad decisions.
Well, I'll tell you, actually, I did predict the half point rate cut back in September, and I thought they were on firmer ground then. And the reason I say that is because we had actually seen, for the first time in 4 years, in the month of August, reported job losses with meager gains
right.
in June and July.
Right.
Now, a month later, these numbers are a little soft. They're not as hard as rock. A month later, we got a revision which changed that modest August loss into a pretty substantial increase
right.
in upwardly revised previous months. So, we've been talking about this all along. The key is keeping the jobs growing. As long as the jobs are rising, that'll help us get through the housing market slump, and
yeah.
we've never had a housing market slump outside of a
You're pretty bullish about it. You're pretty bullish about 08, though, really, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I am. I wouldn't say it's going to be strong, but I think the first half of the year is going to be sort of like we were talking about before, around 2.5% GDP growth, with an improvement thereafter, getting back close to 3% in the second half of the year. So that's really what I'll call a
yeah.
return to normalcy,
yeah.
which, relative to where we've been, would be an improvement, but it's not a gangbuster.
This is a good year to go ahead and write down the problems and start 08 with a fresh slate. Hey, Richard, thanks for being here. Good job today. Richard says the Fed shouldn't cut rates this time, but might. I'm saying that they will go ahead and do a quarter, and we'll find out about that tomorrow. Thanks, Richard. See you next time.
My pleasure, Jim.
Gotta go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.